Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that you are. It's good to be here to know that God has met us here before we ever arrived this morning. I don't know who the first one was in the door. I don't know who the first one was that turned the lights on. But I do know this, that God was here before they ever got here. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad to know that God loves us. You know what? We anticipate things. We anticipate being in the house of the Lord, and we think about things, or maybe it's just me. But I think about things, and I think about, well, how's the service going to go today? And sometimes I know what's going to be sang, and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I, you know things about what's going on, and sometimes I don't. But I always try to imagine, how is it going to go? What's it going to take place? How is it going to affect? How am I going to feel? And I realize how we're all the same, but I always say, how am I going to feel? How am I going to react? How am I going to praise and love and worship the Lord today? But you see, there's two sides to that coin, and I quote that a lot. There's two sides to every coin. But there's two sides to that coin because I really believe God anticipates us being in His presence. And it doesn't always have to be in church or in a church house, but that's what we normally think about. But I really feel like God wants to say, hey, I'm waiting on you. I want you to tell me that you love me today. And I want you to be able to express your feelings of appreciation and those feelings of appreciation of love to me today. So I think it goes both ways, and I'm glad that it does because I really want to say, God, I love you, and I sincerely want to make sure that God knows and understands that simple fact of life. Great to see you in the house of the Lord. Would you stand with me today, and let's open this service with prayer. Hallelujah. I know we have a lot of needs. I know a lot of people go through a lot of things, and I had someone before church tell me, he said, well, it's just been a really up and down year. And I said, well, it'll probably stay that way. That was not what they really wanted to hear right that there at moment, but they understood it because it does. Life is up and down. Sometimes we're on the top and sometimes we're not. I think we just heard that lesson taught not too long ago. But I know that we have all those things in life. But I want to understand that God answers prayer. Hallelujah. Could we lift our hands and ask God to bless and anoint today? Lord, we thank you. We love you so much this morning, Lord. God, I ask that you reach down and touch and anoint, God. Lord, with your power, with your glory, Jesus, that we might give you praise, that we might give you honor, Lord. I thank you for it, God. I believe you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Turn around and give somebody a big smile, maybe a handshake or a high five or something other before you're seated and tell them how much you appreciate them today. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to give you a disclaimer to start with this morning. My wife says, of course, you know, your wife is always the one that's always good to say, hey, you did a good job. Or she's always the one that says, well, you needed to do this or do that. And that's okay. I like that. I like that. But I'm going to give you a disclaimer this morning. I may repeat myself. But if I repeat myself, I am repeating myself on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. I want to drive a point home today. And I think it will be very obvious before I get too involved here. I want to drive a major point home today. And the title of what I am going to speak today is simple and very easy to understand. But yet it needs to be applied to every one of our life. If you're sitting here today, this is going to be directed to you and I. It's going to be directly, I'm going to hit you right between the eyes today. Is that okay? I want to really, really, really drive my point home. And like I said, I may be repetitive. God needs you. And then I put a little parentheses there, and so does CLC. God needs you. Everybody raise your hand and say, God needs me. God needs every single one of us in our lives. He needs the things that we have. He needs the talents we have. He needs the ambition we have. And every single person, and I'm sure you know this, but every single person in this building and in this world, for act, is the fact that everybody's different. And it'd be kind of boring if everybody was like me, wouldn't it? Well, maybe not, but everybody's different. And so that's what I'm going to help us understand today is because of our differences and because of the way we think and because of the things that goes on in our life, that's what God wants. That's what God desires. God wants to use every single one of us in this place today. I'll let you remain seated if you'd like. If you'd like to stand, that's perfectly okay. But I'm going to read our text today, a little lengthy, but I think I need to set the foundation. For as the body is one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I'm going to jump back and forth here this morning between spirituality and humanity. You read this scripture and it's talking about the body. The first thing that we think of is our natural body, especially when we go ahead and continue to read. But it also applies spiritually today. And I want you to get that with me on this reading. For by one Spirit are we baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Here, 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 here. The body is many, the physical body and the spiritual body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Think about it. If your eye says something other that I don't want to be the eye anymore, that's a problem. If the whole body were an eye, where were the healing? If the whole body were the healing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one, everybody say every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. That right there really is important because God doesn't put us just anywhere that we're not qualified to be. God puts us and allows us to be what he has designed for us to be. Now you see a sawhorse and a 2x6 here this morning. God didn't design me too much to do that. He had designed me to be able to run a corporation or to be able to build houses or whatever, but I never was the lead carpenter. Brother Bellamy's the carpenter, or Brother Blevins is the carpenter, or some of you are the carpenter. But God hath done it as it hath pleased him. And if now there were one member, where were the body? But now are they members, yet one body. So we all are in this together. We all are this for one purpose, and every single one of us has a job to do. God needs everyone, and without you, something is missing. Ran across this illustration the other day, and I'd like for you to take time to look at it because I thought it was amusing. The first slide that I've got this morning, I thought that it was important because of the way it happened and the way it is. They got that first slide ready for me, please. Now hiring losers. the way our society is today, that's probably okay. We just need to hire people. But that's not the context. If you look close, there's a letter that is doubling up on the U, and it's fell down, and it's no longer doing its job. And by now, every one of you have figured out it does not, it's not supposed to say, now hiring losers. It's supposed to say, now hiring closers. Something's missing. And when something is missing, folks, everything else is affected. I want us to understand, and I want us to hopefully grasp today, it does not matter how long you have been in this church or how much you think you are evolved or involved in this church. Every one of us, we do not need to be the missing letter. I need you, Brother Dainsworth needs you, and most importantly, God needs you to fill in that blank space, because we are not losers, church. We're winners. The word should be closers. When the letter is missing, the word is loser. What an effect that one letter makes. What an effect that one person makes in our church. We're not losers. We are the children of God. It is extremely important to understand when we are missing, we are not fulfilling the God-given talent, and something is wrong. Amen? God, and I'm going to get into this. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but every one of us has got talent. Not me. I don't have anything I can do. I'm going to help you here in just a minute, because I'm helping myself. Something does not get done when we are missing. The devil may try to make you think you don't have any talents or that you're not useful. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, but I'll almost guarantee you that every person in this building today has at some time or another felt insignificant and unuseful. I see heads going up and down. Every one of us. I could tell you stories of my life. I could even tell you stories of some of your lives, because I've known you a long, long time, a lot of you. But I promise you, the devil tries to make you feel like you're unuseful and insignificant in the house of the Lord or to God. But I'm here to break that myth this morning. I'm here to do away and erase the stigma to the fact that you are not unusual, you are not unusable, but you are the one that God wants to use, and you're the one that God wants to do it now. Is that okay? Do you believe that? I do. There's a popular sign that is displayed on many churches, and you've all seen it. But it's the second illustration or the second thing that I want us to realize this morning, and that is the sign that you've probably seen put out there many of times. C-H blank C-H. I ask you, what's missing? Wow. What's missing? Because when you look at it this way, folks, we've got a problem. When you look at it this way, it's solved. Only because you are put where you need to be. You and I are doing the things for God that God has asked us to do. Well, God's never asked me anything to do. Have you ever asked God, did you want something done? I don't know what to do in the church. I promise you. Every single person in this building, if you don't feel like you've got something to do, please see me after church, because I'll guarantee you within a matter of minutes, I'll have you something to do. Does it involve preaching behind this pulpit? Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I would never do that. Does it involve singing in the praise team? I couldn't do that. I could do that. That's why we're all different, folks. That's why we do things. We have different abilities. We have different talents. I can't do that. But I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. Told you I was going to repeat myself. I promise you, You have got the things that God wants you to have. Without you, we have no church. If that was there, and they've already took it down, but if that was there, the CH and then the blank and then the CH, if you're not there, folks, we don't have a church. If we don't have guests coming into our building on a regular basis, we won't have a church because it'll eventually disappear. If we don't have somebody doing the things to keep those guests here, it won't get done. And I could go on, and I will in a minute. Without you, we have no church. Without you, we are handicapped. Without you, we have nothing. You say, well, I'm not important. I'm not that. You are. Because without your job being done, folks, it gets undone. Without you. You know what we have if you're not here? The next slide that's there. Without you, we have no musicians. Without you, we have no teachers. Without you, we have no singers. Without you, we have no greeters or sound persons or media persons or church cleaners or people who witness or people who pray or people who are parking lot attendants or people who are cooks or people who are making coffee or ushers or secretaries or department leaders and on and on and on and on. I'll guarantee you most of us sitting here in this building could fall somewhere in just this category of few words. We can do it. We can do it. Today, God is calling you. Everybody say me. Everybody say it again, me. You know why I had you say that? I want you to understand, it's not just me, but it's the me that's there that's speaking those words. God is calling me to be that missing letter. God needs you. God needs your talent and your ability that nobody else has. You mean I've got a talent somebody else? Sure you do. You've got a talent that somebody else don't have, church. You've got an ambition that somebody else don't have. I used to be Brother Monty Boggs. But I'm not Brother Monty Boggs anymore. I can't run that way, Brother Boggs. Now, I don't know that I ever done what I seen him do the other day, and I was proud of him. I don't know if I ever rolled from one side to the other side and rolled back. But he's got a talent. I used to be like Brother Perry. I used to be that sharp mind and that sharp word. And I used to, I'm not that anymore. I could go on and on and on and on. I used to be, but I'm not. Things change in my life. Even though my talent may not have changed, the ability to use that talent has changed. And it doesn't matter if you're a young adult, a middle-aged adult, or a senior adult here, folks. Every one of us still has a purpose and a heartbeat of God. And God said, I need you. I want you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do the things that needs to be done through your life. No one does it like you do it. I don't care how good of a carpenter Brother Bellamy is. I nail a nail different than he does. Now, we may get the same job done, but he may get it done 3 or 4 times faster than I do. It's just the simple way it does. Someone else does not get the job done. God needs your ideas. God needs your way of doing it. God needs your way of seeing that it happens and comes to pass. I'm going to show some ages here, or maybe make you think you're some ages here. There was a poster many, many, many years ago, and I know the draft has been done away with many years. And they've already got it up there, and I was going to build up to it, but that's good. That poster, anybody remember that poster? If you remember it, hold up your hand. Brother Matt don't remember it. If you remember that poster, raise your hand. Come on, hold them up, please. Okay, most of you remember it. Some of the back row back there don't remember it. I don't blame that. But this was during the height of the draft. I don't know if I was lucky or unlucky. I choose to think that it was a blessing. Maybe it wasn't, but they tell me that when the draft ended, that my number was within 100 of being drafted. Now, Brother Clark, Brother Bellamy, some of you others, and I don't know all of the history of your military service, whether it was or was not. But one of the main reasons for this sign right here, it says, I want you. Now, think about it. Who did this sign represent? It represented, because draft age started at what age? 18. Now, can you imagine anybody wanting an 18-year-old boy to shoot a rifle at somebody else? Can you imagine anybody wanting an 18 or a 19-year-old boy to drive a transfer truck hauling explosives around a bumpy road? Can you imagine any? What my point is, it didn't matter what your ability was when this sign was put up. They wanted you because they knew they could train you and help you, and you could become a chief person in the armed forces. I'll guarantee you, it did not matter their qualifications. It did not matter their abilities. It did not matter the things that they thought they could do or they couldn't do. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, God can train you. God can help you. And with the help of the leadership of Christian Life Center, you can be an important person, and you can fly an F-14 or an F-15 or whatever they were that they were flying back then. You could drive the tanks. You could drive the motorcade. You could shoot a rifle. You could do the jobs that needed to be done. God simply wants us. That's what God wants. God wants somebody that's willing to say, I will. Now, they had to do a lot of coaxing. That was a very, very, very popular sign for many, 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 many years. And the reason for it was a well advertisement, and it hit the point. And the point was, I don't need your dog. I don't need your cat. I don't need your mom. I don't need your sister. I need you. That's just what it was. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't need your dog and your cat, but I need every lady. I need every young person. I need every older person. I need everybody that is willing, and not only I need them, but God needs them. God needs every single one of you here today. I'm too old, Brother Johnson. I just can't do that anymore. No, I can't do some of the things I used to do either, but I can do something. I can become something. I want to tell you a story that breaks my heart. I mean, literally. I was growing up in my home church. I started preaching when I was 16 years old. I preached my first sermon at 16. But there was a young man that God had called before me. And in fact, sadly, you'll see the story in a moment. Sadly, that young man was the preacher's son, the pastor's son. He had made great strides in the ministry. He was several years older than I am. He was a very good preacher. He had a personality that everyone loved. And I'm going to describe somebody that everybody, us, all of us sitting here, thinks that that's what I need to be. Okay? But that's not necessarily what you need to be. He was a good preacher. He had a great personality. Everyone wanted to be around him. If he came into the room, everybody went to him. Anybody know anybody like that? But all of us do, okay? Everyone wanted to work with him. Everyone wanted to be with him on a daily basis. And one of the times I said, I wish that I could preach like that. I wish that I could sing like that. I wish that I could have the personality that he had. Anybody ever said that? Come on, be honest with you, with me. Anybody ever said that? I just wish I could preach like that. Man, I wish I could sing like that. But that's the way he was. But as time began to go on, he became what is referred to as missing in action. Because you see, youth services came and youth services went, and he wasn't there. There were times that Wednesday nights came, and there were times that Wednesday night finished up, and he wasn't there. And everybody began to ask. They even asked me, where was he at? And to start with, I made excuses for him. I said, well, you know, he had to work tonight, or, well, it's okay, he had this to do or that to do. And I made excuses for him, but it got to the point I run out of excuses. He was just missing. Like the demonstration and the signs that I just gave you a few minutes ago, the demonstration was CH, what's missing? You are. And that's the way it was with this young man. He was missing. But that's not the sad part of the story. The sad part of the story is after a period of time of him missing in action, not listening and doing what needed to be done in his life, I was in Brother Glass's office, my pastor, growing up. I was in his office going over some things with him when this man came in. And when he came in, I didn't know it. Excuse me just a moment while I get this out. I didn't know it, but he had in his pocket, and he had his hand in the pocket. I didn't think nothing about it. But I sit there, and I could tell something was wrong. I could tell something was going on, and I just sit there real quiet because, number one, it was between him and his dad. But most important, it was because it was between a man and his pastor. But he looked at his dad, he looked at the pastor of the church, and he said, I can't do this no more. And I looked up at him and I said, you can't do what? And he said, I can't do it anymore. And he reached in his pocket. This happens to be a credit card, but he reached in his pocket and he pulled out his ministerial license. Now, they may not mean much to some ministers, but folks, that's important to me. It symbolizes that I've given to God my life, and I've given to God the things that I hope he has been pleased with, some of the things that I did, maybe. But I looked, and he had his ministerial license with the United Pentecostal Church in his hand. And he reached over, and he laid it on his dad's desk. And he said, I can't do it anymore. I didn't understand that then, and I still don't understand it now. And that's been probably 50 years ago or more. But what was so disturbing, and I will never forget the next words he said as he started out the door. He took the door handle by his hand and he opened the door, and as he started to walk out, he turned around and he said this. He said, somebody else can do my job. And he closed the door. Now, I'm here to proclaim to you and help you understand one simple basic principle of life and what I am trying to drive home today, and that is the simple fact of nobody can do your job. It may get done, but it won't get done the way God called you to do it. It may work, but it won't work the way God called you to work it. You'll never be a Brother Bellamy. You'll never be a Brother Clark. You'll never be a Brother Abraham. You'll never be a Brother Matt. You'll never be a Brother Box. You'll never be anybody but yourself. And God is calling every one of us as an individual to say, God, I will not be the missing person. I will do what you've asked me to do. I will go where you want me to go, and I will become what you want me to become. I want to read you a scripture today that I love. I love this analogy and this scripture. The Bible says this, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And listen what it says. And one he gave 5 talents, one he gave 2 talents, and one he gave 1 talent. The thing I want you to notice this morning is there is not one person, not one person in this illustration that God was divvying out talents to, there is not one person he left out. Everybody got a talent. Now, I'm intelligent enough and you're intelligent enough to understand that somebody's smarter than I am. Somebody's better at things than I am. Somebody does things better than I do. And I may not be worthy of those 5 talents, and that's okay. Somebody else may be more worthy, and they can do twice as much as I can do, and they can have those 2 talents. But I am smart enough to know that if I don't get 5 and I don't get 2, I'm still got 1, because God has called every single person in this building this morning, every one of you, regardless of what the devil has tried to tell you or convince you to do, God has given you at least 1 talent, at least 1 ability. At least 1 thing that you can do for God. And as I said, CLC needs you. At least 1 thing you can do for Christian Life Center. Every one of us. God gave every man a talent. He left no one out. Some had 5, some had 2, some had 1. But God, I'm here to tell you today, every single one of us has a talent. Hear me what I'm about to say. When the first car pulls up on this parking lot, when the very first, it doesn't matter if they're a first-time guest, a second-time guest, or been here 25 years, when the first car pulls up on that parking lot, I believe that it's all hands on deck. I believe that every one of us, every single one of us, has had something to go on before that time or during that time. It is our opportunity, and I preach this to my grandkids, I preach this to people I know, and if you know me very long, I preach this with all of my heart. I want to be proactive and never have to rely on being reactive. I'm going to say that again. I want to be proactive and never have to rely on being reactive. We do not know what that person is in need of when they get out of their car. We do not know if they're sick or if they need encouraging words. We do not know if they need a financial miracle. We do not know if simply a smile and a handshake will make them feel better or feel needed. The song that we help them to feel, and the song in the presence of God and the presence of the Almighty God that we are in church of, we do not know what they are going through. I do not know what you are going through, but I promise you, friend, there has got to be a time that I have got to be able to say, I sure am glad you're in church today. I sure am glad to see you today. There's a piece of paper right there. I think I'll pick that up, and nobody sees it. Nobody knows that I picked up that paper. Nobody knows that I prayed before I come to church. I can look at you and say, sir, I'm not sure of your name, but I'm glad you're here today. I can give somebody a smile. I can give somebody a high five. I can do something for God, because God does not want me missing in action. God does not want me not doing the things that he needs me to do. Not just that he wants me to do. Not just that he desires me to do. But he needs me to do. We've only lived for God one day, or we only live for God 50 years. Simply doesn't matter. And that's all that there is to it. Got an illustration I want to do this morning. Got some more stuff, but I'm running out of time. Got an illustration that I want you to help, I think will help you understand a little bit. Brother Matt, would you help me? Brother Clark, would you help me? You see, those look the same, don't they? If you're a carpenter, if you're a builder or anything, that's 2x6. Not the same length, but basically they look the same. Basically, they're the things that make something happen. And I don't know who this represents, but it represents somebody in this room. I don't know who this represents, but it represents somebody else in this room. Not sure who this represents, but it represents somebody else in this room. You see, it doesn't matter which one of these are you. What it matters is when we use these things, they become effective. For years in my life, I fought with the calling of God. Now, let me preface that and tell you. Like I said, 16 years old, I preached my first sermon. But I had an impact in my life, and maybe you haven't had this impact, and that's okay. It's all right, totally all right. But I had an impact on my life that I'll never, ever, ever in all of my life until I lay down for the last time forget what God did for me. I grew up in the church all of my life. I slept on the church floor under the pews. But at 15 years old, Brother Glass realized that there was a calling on my life, and he began to just ever so gently kind of push me in the right direction. And I was in a prayer meeting one night. I don't remember what night it was, Monday night, Tuesday night. It was an off-night prayer meeting. And I was kneeling on the front, at the front pew, on the floor, the front pew. And just as sure as I'm here, just as sure as I'm standing here, I felt the presence of God wrap his arms around me so tight and love me so great that I will never, ever in my life forget that. But as I did, God began to move on me, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God wanted to do something in my life. I told you that story to tell you this. You may not have had that experience. You may not have had that feeling yet. But I promise you this. If you'll give it to God, you will understand one principle, and that principle is it doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter your bank account, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If you will surrender your heart and your life for God, God will use you. There's only one key, and that you've got to be willing. You may never stand on that platform. You may never take an offering. But you can be that person that gives a smile. You can be that person that picks up something off the floor. You can be that person that walks back in that prayer chapel and straightens up the chair. You can be that person that walks out front and helps at the coffee booth. I could go on and on and on. You understand what I'm saying. But even though these are different, they all have got a purpose. Brethren, if you will, take those right there. You see, they may be different lengths today. You see over there, folks, maybe y'all could back up a little bit this way. You can just hold them right there. We got. You see, these two really are not doing very much on their own. In fact, they're having to have somebody help hold them up. Because if they let go of it, they'd fall. And don't ever be afraid that nobody's going to help you or train you or help you do something other or help something to go on in your life, because we will. Everybody will. Okay? But you see, when you add something else, may have to come together a little bit further, brother. When you add something else there, well, it becomes something. I'm not sure what it is yet. But it becomes something, okay? But it's still not what it really needs to be, is it? Because if they let go, it's just all going to fall apart. Now, I'm here to tell you, folks, not everybody's this bored. And not everybody's this bored. And not everybody is this bored. And not everybody are these. But if you got this bored, and you got this bored, and you got this bored, somewhere along the line, something's going to come together. Something's going to happen. And so when you got one board and you got another board, something begins to stabilize.
Yes, you can. And it might make a little bit of difference. But when somebody else comes along, you're not the same nail. And God needs you. And it may not be what we want to be yet, but it's stable. To be, but when somebody else comes along and said, I'm just a nail, that's all God needs is just one more nail, just one more filling to make a difference. And God says, I'm going to use you right here, I'm going to put you right here, I'm going to have you do this right there. And then one more comes along and says, hey, if you can do that, I feel like I can do that. If you can bless, be a blessing to the church, I feel like you can do that. Maybe I can do that. And God gets another one. And God gets you. And what was once just two boards with nothing holding it together. What was once just two boards and said, I don't mean anything. If you will just allow God to make you a board, or if you will just allow God to make you the cross piece, or if you will just let God make you a nail. Or if you will listen, oh, you understand. I don't know what I've done today to you, but I hope I've somehow or another helped you understand. I don't care what your abilities are. God left no one without a talent. God gave every single person in this building a talent. And when you put one talent and two talents and three talents and maybe four or five, or six, or seven, when you put them together, Christian Life Center becomes stronger. Christian Life Center becomes stronger. Thank you, brother. In closing this morning, I'm not sure what God's calling you to do, but I am sure God's calling you. Can I say that again? I'm not sure what God's calling you to do, and you may not even be sure. But you understand one simple principle of the Word of God. God is calling you. God has given you a talent. God has made a difference. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what kind of health you're in. I don't care. Because believe me, in the last several years, I've experienced enough to know about that health stuff. I know about that. Got out this morning trying to do better, or trying to stay do a little better. You know how that is, and make sure my suit fits well. Got out this morning, I said, I bought me a treadmill. Not sure how pleased my wife was with that decision, but I'm closing. Bought me a treadmill. But I got out this morning, and I promise you, I walked that time frame that I walked this morning. I know the difference. Would you stand with me? I know what it's like. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what kind of health you're in. I promise you, there's still a talent that God has given you. Hallelujah. When we lift our hands and ask God to somehow or another blossom that talent in our lives. Heavenly Father, I love you with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, my being, everything that I have, God. I'm asking one simple prayer, and that is to always use me, God. Use me until I cannot be used anymore and your time of calling has taken place. I'm asking for every person in this building today, Lord, use us, God, because you need us and Christian Life Center needs us. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, the only thing that will stop you is the fact that you say no to God. That's all it is. So I'm asking this morning, let's find something to do with your talent. If you don't have anything, see me. I promise we'll make something happen with you. God bless you. Greet one another. Shake one another's hand. Give them a high five. Most of all, give them a big smile. God bless you this morning.